From the Middle is proud to be a founding member of Odd Pods Media. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 165 of From the Middle. We're three middle-class guys living in the middle of America in the middle chapters of our lives with the point of view that's somewhere in the middle. If you don't know anything about our show, we're a comedy, culture, entertainment, and interview-style podcast. Basically, just three guys in the Midwest talking about life and all that that entails. And in summer in Ohio, that means a wet heat. It's a wet heat. It's a humid, humid heat advisory heat, and it's very hot. And so what do? In the heat, you cut your grass, you take your kids camping, and if you're Dylan, you hide out in your underground bunker and put up a big ass television entertainment center. That's awesome. Stay tuned for stories about all those things and more, including our review of the hit show Prey on Hulu. We love you. Enjoy.
Oh, for the love. Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole clean today.
That's where you keep it? You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
One of the things that I like to do sometimes while driving in the car with my kids, if I give them Skittles or something in the back seat, I'll like put my hand out to the back and I'll tell them, hey, I want you to get one color, and I'll put it in my mouth. I'll try it and I'll try to guess what flavor it is or whatever. And another thing that I like to do is if my wife picks up like a new soda or a new kind of bubbly water or something, I often do the same thing, just like on my own, completely by myself. I'll legitimately make sure I don't look at the labeling on the can. So that way I can taste it and see if I can guess what flavor it's supposed to be. And sometimes, like a few days ago, it's like blueberry, pomegranate, watermelon, whatever. And I'm like, I have no idea. I think in my head, I thought it was black cherry, but I failed. But I have a new bubbly water right now that I literally just poured into a glass, and I've not read anything about it, and it smells peachy, and I'm going to taste it now, and I'm going to see how this goes. All right, okay. Here we go.
Let us know.
Ooh.
I taste coconut.
What was that?
Coconut.
Coconut. Okay.
Yes. All right, since I taste coconut, and I'm going to take a clue that the can is blue. It doesn't seem to make sense for coconut. I definitely taste coconut, but I don't think it's just coconut because of the cut of the can for some reason. I'm going to guess it's pina colada. That's my guess. We have coconut pineapple.
Oh.
Which I think is pina colada. That's pina colada, right? Coconut pineapple?
Yeah, sure. I'm from the Midwest. I don't know.
If you like drinking pina coladas.
That's so funny. So I think we've talked about, I'm drinking, for anyone not on YouTube, you should follow our YouTube channel. But I'm drinking LaCroix Beach Plum. And all of the LaCroix, as we've discussed, are like 90-year-old dust water drinks that once had an affair with a fruit in their teens in the French Riviera. But this beach plum flavor is like actually drinkable. And it's pretty good for being dust water. Like it's,
yeah.
Naturally essenced is a really good way to say we didn't want to pay for more fruit juice for this drink.
Hey,
well, they're not putting juice. Part of the point of the drinks is that they're not sweetened. When you two talk about how the water tastes like it shouldn't, it doesn't taste like a fruit. I think What you guys are actually thinking or feeling is it's not sweet.
It's not Fanta.
Right. It's not sweetened in any way. There's no kind of sweetener in here.
Why so doesn't the grape taste like grape soda? That's what I'm asking.
So that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, I feel like they could dump a whole bunch of flavor in there, but if it's not sweet, it's not going to taste like the fruit, right?
Right.
And if they put fruit juice in it, then it wouldn't be sugar-free anymore because it has natural sugar in it. and they're trying to avoid that.
I don't know what I want. This was in the fridge and I grabbed it, and it's not the worst thing I've had. I think
flavored sparkling water just isn't for you guys.
That's probably not.
It's flavored sparkling water night because I'm drinking a severed lime liquid death. And we didn't even talk about this. One of the comments on Apple podcast reviews is how they love our sparkling water debates. So we just live to serve. I got to see Dylan's house for the first time last week.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beautiful. And I got the grand tour and everything. But while I was there, Dylan, Bree gave me one of the beach plum.
Yep.
And I thought the same thing. This is probably the best LaCroix flavor I've ever had.
Yeah, much like dating in a small town, it's the best of a bad situation, right? Like, you're like, I could see settling for this person, you know, forever. Like, they're not the worst one around that I've found.
And talking to a guy who married his high school sweetheart.
That was not directed at anyone that I know personally. But yeah,
Dylan's the guy who moved into a big city and hates where he came from.
Yeah, I don't, but it is funny to joke about. I have a survey. I have a quiz, a pop quiz.
I didn't study. So this is.
Oh, by the way, Corey, you did look up what is coconut? What's the thing you Googled?
Pina colada.
What is pina colada made?
Coconut milk, rum, and pineapple juice.
There it is.
So yes, that's basically pina colada. Kendall, I would give you 100% on that one.
Thank you, sir.
I mean, it can't have rum because it's water, and it had the other essence. It was naturally essenced with the other three things.
Let me see if they use any verbiage. Coconut pineapple flavor with other natural flavors. That's what it says.
Is it bubbly?
It is. Yeah.
Bonus points for having Michael Bublé as a sponsor.
I didn't know that.
They do. Yeah. Good commercials. Nothing to write home about. You know, if you're really bored though on YouTube sometime, just search bubbly Michael Bublé commercials and you'll be mildly amused at what you see. I don't mean bubbly. They're not the best rated commercial. Anyways, so here's my pop quiz for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Today, the day that we're recording this, the hottest day of the week that I had to go outside and really mow my new yard for the first time, which means assessing mower deck height and how am I going to bag grass? So all that comes with that, knowing it's going to be an extra long foray into figuring out my yard. What did I have for lunch before? Did I have a light salad? Did I have B? No. Maybe a nice turkey wrap with light chips? Or did I have C, leftover fast food chicken nuggets and 2-day-old pizza?
I was going to say D, fettuccine Alfredo.
Got a carbo load an hour before.
Since Taco Bell was not in any of those words that you were saying, I'm going to go with the last one.
Yeah,
like, I'm normally a big.
You look like it was the last.
I do look like it, and that is both a compliment and not at the same time. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking, other than I really felt like I needed to go outside today, and the only saving grace was the slightest bit of breeze, and I was done with work a little early, so also naturally I got sunburned because I went out early. And just made a bunch of miserable decisions. Just put myself in the worst possible situation. Like kept coming inside, chugging water, immediate bellyache because I drank too much. And then I'm like, I gotta finish the yard. You know, just all the worst decisions that It could have been milk and fettuccine Alfredo. Thank the Lord that it wasn't, but I did get the yard done. And then have been punishing myself since with my decisions today. So good job. You both got the pop quiz right. I did eat leftover fast food, cold nuggets, and multi-day old pizza. That was my meal before deciding to work on the hottest day
we've had.
Speaking of the heat and interesting choices made in the heat, inspired by outdoorsman Nate Weber, in the last couple episodes, we've mentioned him. Kendall and I each had separate camping trips with our families, and Dylan worked to set up his 70 plus inch TV in his basement with the air conditioning on full blast. And I will say, when visiting your house, I noticed just how cold you like to keep it, which is something I already know about you. Mm-hmm. But even I was like, I came back and told Sherry, I never think to myself, self, it's a little cold in here. But I thought that after visiting. We should share about our weekends and family camping trips, since we were talking about outdoors and trying to challenge ourselves to get outdoors more.
Yeah. So your comment earlier, Corey, was that Dylan had the outdoors on TV.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's close to the same.
Yeah. And a really big TV, which means it's even better of an experience.
That's right? Like Michael Scott pointing at the Windows home screen with the grass in the sky. And he says, all the fresh air that I need.
Right. Those Apple TV screensavers are so beautifully shot and so clear that I've done separate research in my downtime about how those were made and the drones that they used and the Phantom D4K DJI whatever drones, and they're played back at like half speed so that it's like a little relaxing. Not slow motion, but like just at half speed. And man, they're stunning. So anyway, I get it, Dylan. No judgment.
Yeah.
Kendall,
talk about your camping.
Yeah, Kendall, tell us, your trip was first chronologically, so you have to.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So it was the last couple times. Well, I guess the only two times I've taken my family camping has started on a heat advisory day, which is awesome. This one in particular, like both days were heat advisory days. It's one of those things. If you've camped before, especially in the heat, you know that when you're setting up camp, like you're going to be wet when you're done. That's just the way it is. And so it's unpleasant. Now, we were in a campground that's geared toward kids. It's not like a Jellystone or anything that extravagant. We're talking like they have a pool and some other things. So like they'll have like a staff member will come and go creaking with the kids at noon on Saturdays, like that kind of thing. And so we know that we can like rinse off and then go jump in a pool when we're done setting up camp. That is really helpful on those days. But it rained the first night that we were there, which is cool. We had everything set up and we were good to go for rain. And then the next day we pretty much had done everything that we wanted to do with the kids. We had been to this place before. And we were planning on leaving the following morning. And so here we are. It's sort of starting to get to be early evening-ish kind of time, and we look at the radar and it's going to be storming basically all night. And so we're on our way back from the pool, and Amy and I had decided, you know what sucks? Packing up wet gear just to take it home and then have to set it back up again because you can't store wet gear. And so we're like, you know what? So we've done everything we want to do. Let's leave now. Let's pack up, leave tonight, and save us the hassle tomorrow morning. We decide that, and we're walking the 5-minute walk back to our campsite. It just starts downpouring. Like, we hid under a tree during this downpour, and then eventually, so if it starts downpouring and you hide under a tree, that works for a few minutes, and then the tree gets saturated and then now it's not working anymore. And so it wasn't working anymore. And so we just had to walk in this, I'm talking downpour, the kind of downpour where like if Dylan was going grocery shopping, like he would be drenched by the time he got into the store from his car. It would look like he just got out of a pool.
And all the bags drenched. Would implode.
Exactly. So that level of drenching. So we get back to the campsite. We're hanging out under the tarp, trying to figure out what it is we want to do now. And we decided, you know what? We're going to be rushing in the morning to put away our wet gear. We can kind of be leisurely about it now, and we can take breaks and wait for breaks in the rain and that kind of thing. Do it now. And so that's what we decided to do. There were no breaks in the rain. And so like we eventually just had to like make the kids sit in the car. It's lightning and thunder and storming. And so the kids are sitting in the car. They're actually one of them is actually kind of freaking out a little bit. And now Amy and I are just kind of like running around, thankfully, because Amy joined us after work when we had gotten there. So we had two vehicles, and she didn't have any gear in her vehicle on the way down. And so we were able to kind of put the seat down in the back of her SUV. And instead of packing up the tent, just kind of like pull it and throw it in the back of the truck. Right. And so that's exactly what we did with the tent and the tarps, and then set it up. It's actually still set up in our garage right now, the tent. So
did you get to throw any of that muddy and wet gear in your new minivan?
Oh gosh, yes. And it pisses me off. I like to keep, now I talk about how much I like camping, and now I'm going to turn around and say this. I appreciate a clean car. And my wife sometimes will make fun of me because like I clean my car all the time. And now we have a situation where we don't consider either car mine or hers. It's just whatever makes sense. The car that follows the kids is the minivan. And so now I want to keep both cars clean. Now I'm concerned about both cars. And we bought it used, but still it came from a dealership, which means it was very well detailed. And I mean, couldn't go a week of preserving that detail before I'm packing up a wet camp into the back of it. And
I'm interested. Yeah. It'll be relevant when I share my story. Is there separate from the rain experience that you had? Because I know how much you love research and preparing for things.
Yeah.
Is there anything you changed about your list of stuff to bring from the first time to the second time? As you said, you've been twice with the kids. So did you change any of your gear or think about, oh, the first time think, oh, shoot, you know, it would be great for next time, and then bring it the second time?
So we downsized a lot, actually. So we brought a lot less stuff, and I packed things a little bit more efficiently. There was a lot less weight on the car for the second trip. There was a possibility of rain the first time we camped. It just didn't happen. Well, it did happen right after we set up, but then it was fine the rest of the time. Which means, so the only difference was I strung up a tarp, for this trip. I did not do that for the previous trip. I'm glad that I strung up that tarp.
Yeah, that way you're not relegated to just your tent. You have a space where you're in shade and can get, you know, dry if you wanted to.
Yeah, and a place where you can like keep your shoes, but not getting your tent all messed up and put your chairs under there and stuff. Yeah.
So,
I have a follow-up question. What's like the least practical camping thing, that the thing least built for camping that you take with you? Like, you'd say like, I take a bottle of Chick-fil-A sauce, you know, cause like we always end up wanting it for some reason. Well, like, what's the least camping related thing you take with you?
Last time we went camping, the first time around, we took a box fan. Cause Amy was insisting for her first time going out camping, especially like in heat. She wanted to have a fan. That sounded like a really good idea. And I was telling her, it's not going to be worth it. They make tent fans. They're little styrofoam things that are crappy. Not worth your time. And so, but she brought a box fan, and we have like there's still like the lead acid battery chargers, whatever, that you can put in the trunk of your car. And she plugged it into that. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to work for about 5 minutes. And it worked for about, to her credit, that first night, it worked for about 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes it ran, which was enough to sort of like acclimate her, comfort her down into sleep mode. And by the time it was off, she didn't really need it anymore. But
there you go.
So it did work that one night. We didn't bring it this time. We did not bring a box fan this time.
Huh.
But I don't know. I would say, I sleep on a cot. I love my cot, and it's really comfy. And the kids, I had gotten them sleeping pads. They're the little backpacking sleeping pads. Like, it takes like 6 breaths and they're blown up. And they're really good. The kids love them. And my wife was sleeping on an air mattress, a queen size air mattress that we have a little battery powered pump for. Blowing one of those up with your mouth is absolutely not an option. And so we're setting up the sleep stuff and the pump dies. And so now we have, so then she ends up using one of the kids' sleeping mats, the kid who's okay with sleeping on the ground without it. And she really likes the sleep mat now. And so today I ordered her one. And so now they all have like these little like Nalgene water bottle sized sleep mats. And I'm the diva now with the big cot that has to get packed up. And my only saving grace is that the bag that the cot goes in, I can also fit all of my clothes for a few days. I can also fit all 4 of the sleeping pads. I can also fit my little pillow in there. So like, I don't have any other bags. I just have that. So that's the only saving grace. But it is funny that I'm the one who has like the big, heavy 60-pound cot when everyone else is sleeping with this little backpacking pad.
I thought you were going to say somebody burned up a battery backup for the fan pump because they fired up the box fan too early.
It was just getting some air moving with the box fan. Did I use up the battery? My bad.
So given that camping isn't her first passion, what are Amy's thoughts now on the ways that you've tried to make primitive camping a little more comfortable? Is it something she wants to do more often, or is she like, Kendall, I don't know why you insist on doing this with us?
She's still a trooper. One of the things that I really appreciate and love about my wife is, like, I can tell, like, and she, it's not like she lies about whether or not she likes something, but when she goes along and does something that she doesn't want to do, it's not begrudging. And it's not like it's never the, I don't know why you like this, I'm doing it anyway, I hope you love me. Like, it's not even, she doesn't even want to joke that way about it. She genuinely wants to go along. She genuinely wants to be a good sport. I absolutely adore that about her.
That's so great.
No, she's great. I know that she doesn't enjoy it. I know she would rather be vacationing or doing really anything else. But she'll still go. She appreciates the place that we've been because they have the kid friendly things. Yeah. And my attitude toward that is just kind of like, well, I mean, we can make it. We can get the kids interested in things other than that. Like, we can go for a short little walk. We can go fishing as long as the place has fishing, that sort of thing. We don't need. Yeah. Anyway.
I have a cold movie. I have a cold movie theater. If you guys want to come over for movie night.
I was just picturing like a Kevin James or somebody type sitcom as you were telling that story of the air mattress pump not working and all this. I don't know. You said you like just the things that can happen with those experiences. So my story is Friday. I got out of work early as well. And I was like, you know what? I promised Case I would take him camping this summer. He keeps asking about it. I actually am going to Mexico for work next week or the week after. And so things are going to start to get crazy for prep for that. And so I was like, it's a Friday night, let's just go. And so I highly recommend, and Kendall, I know you were aware of this, the app HipCamp, HipCamp. It's like an Airbnb for camping sites on typically private lots. And so this can be for primitive campers, RV campers, whatever. And you can search by your area or search by the type of camping experience you want and what amenities they have at these places. So typically it's like, hey, I got a horse farm and way on one corner, there's a quiet little pond. And so I allow campers to come out and camp. There's picnic tables and fire rings. Just drop $20 in the box on your way in or out. Thanks so much. And you'll never have to see me. Like, really cool for the primitive camper. So Case and I found one 10 miles from our house. It's this great place called Grins and Pickens Camp Farm. And it's this sweet lady, Christy, who has a very long, skinny patch of property. And so way beyond her house, she has over 30 primitive campsites with picnic tables and fire rings. And they're all full sun. They're all completely just, it's just a mowed yard. But she mows, she leaves a little grid pattern of tall grass between each of them so that you know what the boundaries of your site are. And then clear at the back, there's a woods with some tall trees, and those are for hammock campers. And then there's one site all by itself back into the woods, maybe 20 yards. So Case and I picked that site. We met Christy. We thought, oh, this is going to be packed on a weekend. There was nobody there. Case and I were the only ones there. We stayed back in the woods, and she walks us all the way back. She shows us where we're going to set up, and we give her $5 for a bundle of wood. I thought that the temperature looked great. It was 70 some odd degrees. I did not pay attention to the humidity. It was 90% humidity. So as Kendall said, setting up in a warm day with 90% humidity next to a creek, needless to say, I was dripping sweat by the time we were all done. Yeah. As I mentioned, the creek was, it's not a sheer rock face from our flat campsite, but maybe 12 to 15 feet down a very steep bank, one that you wouldn't even want to try to walk down. You need to walk the long way, is a creek that was maybe 2 or 3 feet deep in some spots. So Case and I hiked down there. We're both soaked. I'm in the woods. There's no one on this property. I'm not a small man, but I still wanted to just take my shirt off because I was like, it's so dang hot. So we're just splashing water on our faces and like trying to cool off. Anyway, he's a sweet kid. He had a lot of fun. I taught him some primitive skills. I actually started a fire with a ferro rod and was very proud of myself, even though it was like super damp and whatever. Yeah. And Sherry did bring me a Bic lighter just in case I couldn't get that to work.
Smart.
But so I'm doing the hammock thing that I bought, the Hennessy hammock that I bought with the canopy over it. And Case is doing a very small, they say 4-person tent, but it's like 1-person tent. Unless your Case is size. So Case is going to sleep in there 6 feet away from my hammock. Well, Case is a sleepwalker. We've shared that on the podcast before. So I have to try to think of a clever way to make it so that he doesn't put himself in a sketchy situation next to this 12-foot, like, you know, steep bank, or like wander into the woods if he has to pee or something. So Sherry's like, hey, let's give him the little gizmo watch. It's a little watch for kids that has cell service. Let's just give him that in case he gets lost. And I was like, well, I want to try to prevent him getting lost in the first place. So I said, hey, buddy, I'm going to give you this Gatorade bottle to pee into if you have to pee in the middle of the night. And I'm going to lock the zippers from the outside so that you can't get out. And if you really, really need me, just say daddy and I'll wake up. Well, as you'll find out in a moment, that wasn't a problem at all because I didn't sleep a wink. So,
oh man.
So I thought, I'm so inspired by Nate Weber. I want to be this like outdoorsy guy. I'm not even going to pack a change of clothes from setup to tear down. I'm going to wear the same outfit. So I completely soaked the clothes that I was setting up in. Now I have to try to sleep in those or not at all. So I remove, sorry folks, I remove everything but my MeUndies in the hammock, and we go to bed at like 9:30. Case is struggling to go to sleep. I'm wide awake because I'm nervous that he's going to wake up in the middle of the night and panic and not know what to do. And then I'm like, what if something happens to me? Like, he can't get out to like get my phone. Like, is he going to like run up the like quarter mile to this lady's? So then get this. I start hearing in the creek below sloshing through the water of like a larger sized animal. And then I'm like, okay, that's probably deer. But then I hear the cracking together of rocks, like in Blair Witch. And then I'm going, what woodland creature is nocturnal and smashes rocks together? Then I hear like wood rapping on the side of a trunk of a tree. Just not like a woodpecker, multiple knocks, just like one loud knock. So now, and it's again, my hammock is right at the edge of this 12 foot bank. So it's like right below me. I'm hearing these things.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where truly I wouldn't mind saying if I was scared. It wasn't as much that I was scared as much as it was like me going, what could that possibly be? I called my dad later and I'm like, do raccoons like smash rocks on shellfish to try to like little clams? Like, would they do that? And he's like, yeah, they'll do that. So we're trying to figure out what smashes rocks. Anyway, 5:30 in the morning and I still haven't slept at all. I'm dripping sweat in my hammock and we made a lot of memories and it was a lot of fun. And y'all should use hip camp if you're gonna camp in your area. And I said, Case, man, did you have fun? But the best part, and I think we can all agree, is bacon and eggs on the fire the next morning.
Yes, sir.
There's something so amazing, even if it's hot, there's something so amazing about breakfast on a campfire the morning after camping. I don't know what it is. I got to figure out a way to do my coffee while I'm camping, but it was so good. We did make some memories. We had some fun. Shout out to Christy at Grins and Pickens. She has a scavenger hunt that kids can get prizes if they find 10 items. She's mowed like a maze through the tall grass. Like, it's a really cool spot. And I told her we'll definitely be back. And I told Case we would definitely be back maybe in the fall when it's not so. So
did you tell her about the ape man of the creek?
Yeah, I said, so she goes, did you hear the owls last night? I go, oh, we heard the owls, and you have some very interesting noises coming from the creek. And she goes, really? What? I said, there was knocking on trees, sloshing through water, and then rocks, like not the footprints of someone walking on rocks, like just rocks smashing. She's like, weird, I don't know what that would be. I'm like, y'all got Sasquatch back there? Is that part of the experience? So anyway, good times, making memories for sure. Not all of them good, but certainly memories.
Try again in the fall.
Yeah, definitely going to do it in the fall. And I'm going to start paying attention to humidity now. But I did, I did think to myself, like, I want to get to the point where I've got this packing list down to a, like, just what I need and no more. It is fun. So like, I'm going to challenge myself. It's different when you're taking kids than what you might take if it were just you.
Right.
But like, I want to get this to a point where like, even my dad used to have a camp box, which was a foot locker, and like everything he needed for camping was in that foot locker, and he would just throw the foot locker in his truck and be good to go. So I want to get to that point where it's all like ready to go and definitely a little cooler. You're muted, Dylan.
So, Corey, what's the least campy thing you take?
I hear him.
Your sound just came in a little later. Least campy thing I take. It's hard to say because almost everything I bring has a camp function. I was going to say just a 5-gallon bucket because that has so many uses in a pinch. Yeah,
that's pretty normal.
But that's pretty normal. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
That could be your turlet.
Yeah. Trying to think of something non-campy. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting that we both decided to camp this weekend.
Well, that feels like a great place to take a quick break and hear from one of our friends in the Odd Pods Media Network.
Boom.
Hey, I'm Lauren.
And I'm John.
And we host the Beard Owl Podcast, the podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Beard Owl.
And a lot of other things. We're funny.
Yeah, that's basically what I told him to say. Good job with your script.
I listened.
Yay! But no, seriously, we try and pair a beer with a Weird Al song and talk about both things and go where the conversation takes us. It's fun, I promise. You'll like it.
Yeah, I mean, if you like talking about random things as well as, you know, fine craft beers and some wonderful craft music.
What if Bigfoot was just a lost Wookiee? From a galaxy far away, but made it here.
Had to travel through time to get here.
It's time and space, sure.
Hey, once Dylan said, when describing Gen Zers and us trying to understand Gen Zers, he said, one day these kids are all going to be in a club somewhere and Baby Shark's going to drop and these kids are going to go nuts. And I thought that was like a remixed version, like a dubstep version of Baby Shark is going to drop. Well, I want to share this video with you guys. One of my college roommate just shared this. So this is at the Kid Laroi concert. You guys know the Kid Laroi? He's an Australian rapper.
Nope, but cool.
So his special guest comes out, The Wiggles.
No way.
Because the Kid Laroi's like, he's got a younger audience. So watch the reaction.
This next guest is the fucking Wiggles.
No way. Oh, man.
I think what helps is the amount of drugs that the crowd is on.
Sorry about the F-bomb. I didn't know that was in there.
I am worried about it. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, please perform.
And then man. They start one of their bangers.
This makes me happy.
I love it for that crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good night for them for sure. I don't think I've ever heard the Wiggles introduced as the effing Wiggles. But I mean, can you imagine?
I don't even know. Can you imagine going to like a concert of somebody iconic from like the 90s or early 2000s and like the Ninja Turtles come out to like the Ninja Turtle rap? And like they're like, we would totally be into it. You'd be like, go Ninja, go Ninja, go. You totally.
I feel like a more apples to apples comparison would be like Pee Wee Herman coming out.
Yeah, I'm not a perfect analogy. I feel like that should just be a thing. Like,
yeah,
that's just a way, like one song for the main act to like cool off while like the Wiggles are out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you remember that the Blue's Clues video that went viral of like Blue coming back and apologizing, like, you know, I just left one day and I'm really sorry.
Oh,
and
Steve
from Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During COVID, he was life is
totally. Yeah. Steve could totally come back to like a concert now and just do like a song or two. You know, we all know the male song.
We'd all sing motivational speech even.
Yeah. I just thought that was really funny based on that comment Dylan had made.
Speaking of things from our childhood, I'm going to circle back to a nice nod that I want to make. So a while back, we found a food truck that was making like a hand tossed, like fresh fired pizzas out of their truck. Right. Mm-hmm. So like somehow my wife, Bree, hears that they want stickers to like put on their trailer for their truck. So I reached out to them and offered to mail them from the middle sticker, you know, because they're specifically asking for like local stickers or whatever. Fast forward ahead, they decide to pivot to a brick and mortar pizza location and they change the name to Pizza Nerds. And they also changed to like a Detroit style pizza, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but I'm like, I really, really liked their hands, their hand toss style, like fired pizza from their brick oven or whatever. I'll go try the new Detroit style. So Pizza Nerds is in Newark, Ohio. So if you're Columbus-ish area or northeast of that at all, definitely check it out. So when I go and you get inside, they've got like Hulk Hogan cut out. They've got like VHS and like all of this nostalgic 80s, 90s decor all over the lobby. Nice. of their pizza place. And they've purposefully decided that they're not doing like pizza salad breadsticks. They're like, you can buy our pizza. Like one is called the Tommy Pickles pizza. And they've got all these like fun names for like kind of more unique combinations. And they're like, we're doing pizza and cookies. And so we've since had like chocolate churro. They had one that was strawberry cream, Captain Crunch cookie. We've had s'mores, and they'd like put icing in some of the cookies. So anyways, the first time I had gone to Pizza Nerds, I was blown away by the interior of this place because it's like, they're literally just us that happens to be different people, but likes the same things. And they made a pizza shop and decorated with all of the stuff. And I got to get like a video while I'm in there. I'll get like a mid-bit video and record next time I'm in there.
Yeah, dude.
But because they didn't have their trailer anymore, I dropped off another sticker and said, hey, I didn't know if you were going to do like a board or something at the new pizza shop. Love your pizza. And left it there. Well, I was so nice. I walked in the most recent trip. And they have two cash registers, but the main cash register right when you walk in has like the angled white iPad, but like the black metal cash register, and you know, that kind of extends out past the iPad, you know, towards the guest. And our sticker was front and center on their cash. If you're on YouTube, there it is. We'll post it on social media.
Yeah.
Front and center in front of the iPad with the square reader. There's our podcast sticker. And it's probably one of the most popular places around town right now. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to Pizza Nerds, not only for how freaking good your pizza and cookies are, but also your decor is freaking awesome. And I've got to get a mid-bit video because like you had me at the Hulk Hogan cutout, but then you look around and there's like Barbies and Care Bears and VHS tapes of stuff and Ninja Turtles and movie posters from like the 80s and 90s. And then on top of that, you very nicely put our sticker on your cash register. And so it's been such a treat. If you're in the area, if you're driving east from Columbus to Pittsburgh, you're headed up to Cleveland and you can get yourself to Newark, check out Pizza Nerds, order a couple pizzas. I just had the Rockadoodle pizza, which was cheese, chicken, onions, and they put barbecue sauce on after. And then I also had them add ranch to the top of the pizza. It was so freaking good. And they have one called the Kramer. They have, so like, if you're into our show and you like some of the things that we like, you're going to just enjoy sitting in their tiny little lobby waiting for your pizza anyways. And on top of that, it's freaking great pizza. Buy a couple cookies while you're there and tell them from the Middle Podcast sent you. So I just had to share that. Because it was such a nice thing to walk in and see our sticker that they could have just tossed in the trash, actually like front and center on their little cash register display.
I can't wait to go check it out. And sucks to be you if you're not in Central Ohio and can't go check them out after that glowing referral.
Yeah, not even my kind of pizza crust, as we've discussed many, many times on the podcast, and it's still delicious. We will be ordering from there frequently anyway. We were eating from their food truck. We'll continue to eat from their new location, and I hope they open more because it's great pizza.
Speaking of 80s nostalgia, I had a bunch of friends on social media that were talking about how good the newest installment in the Predator franchise, Prey, is on Hulu. Prey is actually a prequel to Predator and the rest that came out starting in 1987. So I just thought since the original Predator is the favorite in that franchise, before I watch Prey, I'll go back and watch 1987's smash hit with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, and Jesse Ventura, speaking of pro wrestlers, in Predator, because I had never seen it, believe it or not. And it holds up. Other than some of the practical effects of the Predator costume, there were parts of the costume that were like in certain shots, it looked a little rubbery and silly.
Yeah.
But like, other than that, like the movie holds up. I was legitimately entertained and really enjoyed it.
They're kind of creepy movies. You have like an invisible Whoopi Goldberg going around trying to eat people.
An invisible Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, that's awesome. You're not wrong. So invisible Whoopi Goldberg is going around killing your favorite 80s stars. But it was cool because that movie showed me some of the Predator's weapons and technology that would be replicated in the prequel on Hulu, Prey. I highly recommend Prey. It's really, really good. So the hero in the movie is a Comanche Native American girl who does not want to just gather like the rest of the women in her tribe. She wants to go and hunt with the men. And so she's trying to prove herself to the other men. Her brother, older brother, is a respected Comanche hunter in the tribe. And he's sort of mentoring her. Her dad, I think, is the chief. If it's not her dad, it's anyway. So a predator shows up and this is like 1700s North America in like the Great Plains. And so a predator shows up and interrupts one of their hunts of a mountain lion. And so she is going to prove herself by taking out the predator. And it's super, super good. I highly recommend it if you're into those movies.
I've only ever seen one of all the Alien and Predator stuff, and I'm bringing an Alien because the only one I've seen is Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
The first one. And I thought, if I'm ever going to give these a shot, I could start with one where they're fighting each other and see if one is more compelling creature to watch. I could go back. I never went back and watched any, but I know they're very popular.
Yeah.
And you had your whole thing where you went back and
I went back and watched the Alien franchise. Yeah. Alien. So before I started, and I meant, remember, this was all to watch Prey. So I just did a quick Google search, like, which is the favorite of the Predator movies? And it's like Predator first. Similar to how much Star Wars fans like Rogue One over a lot of the other saga films, a lot of the diehard Predator fans are saying Prey is number two right behind the original Predator, and then the rest follow. And I think like third in line is The Predator that came out as a sort of, I don't want to speak here. It was a recent version going back, I think, as like a reboot of the original, but anyway, they're saying it's like it's right behind the first Predator in the series.
I could believe that, mostly because I don't care and it's not a franchise most people care about. So sure, yeah, Prey number two.
So check out Prey if you are a Predator fan. It's pretty cool.
I'm kidding. I feel like Alien and Predator have like the cult following. They're huge movies. I don't mean that they're not popular. I mean, I feel like so many people are Alien and Predator fans that you would never know are Alien and Predator fans because they are big fan bases. That's a really cool looking. If you're on YouTube, you're looking at it. If you're not, Corey's showing like the movie cover for Prey.
Yeah, that looks
really cool looking.
Yeah. So
I feel like it's one that, like, I remember when Alien versus Predator came out. The Predator fans like came out of the woodwork and it became a pop culture thing when AVP released. Yeah. But it doesn't have the sustaining culture that like Star Wars has. Right. And that there doesn't have to be a film coming out. The culture is still thriving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Speaking of Whoopi Goldberg, the first family movie night that we had was the Apple TV Plus subscription service, the new animated movie Luck. Whoopi Goldberg plays the character of the captain, one of the animated characters, mm-hmm. alongside Simon Pegg, Jane Fonda. Ava Noblezada plays like the main character. Really cute. If you're into Pixar movies, it's not a Pixar movie, but if you're into Pixar movies, it feels the quality of, and Corey, we were talking before we hit record, Brad Bird, who used to work for Pixar, was one of the guys behind this with Skydance Animation. And it's very cute. I thought it was a really nice movie. And my daughter was instantly like, add this to my list to watch, please.
Yeah.
So like right away, she was ready to watch it again. Yeah. A little slow at times, but still very cute and enjoyable and something anybody can watch. So even the Whoopi Goldberg character doesn't go around slashing people up. So
we are killing it cool. with the segues today, as we usually do. But man, obscure connections.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, baby.
Kendall, are you watching anything or are you just camping in the rain?
So I finished The Sopranos.
No.
I didn't tell you. Okay. Well, no. I finished The Sopranos. And it is easily one of the best series I've watched. But I feel like in recent years, like the past decade, TV series have just gone full top notch. Like Sons of Anarchy is also one of the best. It's one of those things where like all of the best things that I have seen on TV have come within the past 5, 6, 7 years. But now with the exception of The Sopranos, and I'm wondering if The Sopranos was like part of the start of like a television revolution of, I don't know if they were or not, but it had that kind of quality to it.
HBO gets a lot of credit for The Wire, Sopranos, Band of Brothers, even a lot of people like, I think it was called Rome. I never watched it. That had a mm-hmm. had a pretty big following. HBO gets credit for a lot of those pretty frequently.
Yeah. I remember I watched Deadwood. I think that was an HBO series. And that was good. But anyway, yeah, no, the Sopranos was fantastic.
What did you think of the very talked about then and still to this day series finale? The last scene of the last episode.
I always love dissonant endings.
Mm.
And it doesn't get any more dissonant than that one.
Yeah.
It caused me to go into the blog sphere and just to try to like verify. I assumed that Tony was about to get whacked. But after it released and everybody was like, did he get killed? What happened? And everybody, cast, writers, producers, everybody was just super hush hush on the whole thing. They were all very clearly instructed to say, you don't answer that question. I'm probably none of them knew the answer to that question except for like one guy, right? And so I guess he came out just a few years ago in an interview and did confirm that yeah, he gets whacked. That's what happens.
Yeah. But, and now do you think you'll go back and watch Many Saints of Newark?
I don't know what that is.
So that is the spinoff film about...
Oh, you talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll seek it out.
I'm interested to hear what you think of that. And Dylan, add to your list of popular and well-done HBO shows Succession, because people won't shut up about that one either. Which we started like Sherry and I started watching together, and she's like, I'm out, just a little too, a little too much language and shenanigans for her.
Interestingly, if Game of Thrones had ended somewhere around season four, this isn't me being critical and jumping on the hate bandwagon, it probably would have gone down as HBO's most popular show ever. And just with how that show ended, it immediately fell out of pop culture discussion. I mean, as soon as that show was done, it's like it never happened, which is weird. Most shows, people still go back and reference Breaking Bad or The Office or Band of Brothers or shows that have had some sort of Seinfeld significant cultural impact. And that show just fell off the face of the earth and was on track, in my opinion, to be like HBO's greatest series. Now they're coming out with a bunch of spinoffs, and so they'll have a chance to try to redeem themselves. But it's really interesting. Yeah, Succession is another one of those. The Wire, Sopranos probably being the two I hear the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm tapped out. That's all I got for this week, guys. You guys got anything else?
Not for this week. But I tell you what, next week is going to be,
something different entirely.
I'm trying to give a teaser about something that I don't know yet is going to happen.
Hey, you think this? Do you think this episode
was good? I'm going to find me a Sasquatch. I'm going to wrestle it in here.
Sam Squatch.
Mount its head right here. Right here.
Okay. Well, there's on the children.
Wall. So, well, no, I'm going to taxiderm it. Is that a verb?
Yeah.
I'm going to derm it taxly. And so it'll be classy.
You know what else is classy?
I'll hang it up.
A well-kept beard.
That's right. So the Sasquatch, part of the taxidermy process is you don't want the fur to get all mangy and nasty. And so what you do is you get yourself some Artemis Man beard oil when you're fixing up your Sasquatch head, and get whatever scent you want. You can apply it every morning, and you can change its scents. You can say, hey, you know what? This morning, I want it to be Citrus Fire, which is going to be Kendall's from the middle. I want my place to smell like that guy. So you can do that. That'd be creepy, whatever you want to do. But go to ArtiusMan.com and put all of your main taming products in a shopping cart. We use them. We love them. They also have candles for those who don't have beards. Mm-hmm. And use the middle at checkout, and you're going to get 25% off your first order, which is a good thing for you. It's a good thing for us. It's a good thing for Artemis Man, ArtiusMan.com.
Check them out. I had a listener reach out via DM and say, hey, you guys talk about Artemis Man all the time. I'm thinking about getting a starter kit. What should I get? My answer to them is one of everything. But no, seriously, get yourself an oil. There's some oil samplers that you can get of a few different scents to see which one you like. Balm has a little bit of a hold, but not much. It's just meant to keep your beard kind of waxy and moist. Butter is more about moisturizing and softening. And then this is your shower stuff. Beard wax, when you want to twist up your mustache and give yourself that little curly mustache, definitely get yourself a wooden comb. And then just because, try another scent and get yourself a candle. And then you can go, oh, I love the scent of that candle. I want that in my next round of purchases. So that's what I would recommend. And speaking of talking to listeners, we had some really nice comments come in today about just how much joy our silliness brings folks. And so I just wanted to say thanks for those comments. Please do reach out. We need more questions for our segment, Answers from the Middle. You can send an email to fromthemiddle@protonmail.com, ProtonMail.com. Use the heading Answers from the Middle in the subject heading so that we can see that easily, and ask your silly questions, your fun questions, your questions about etiquette and hygiene and who you should marry.
And if you're thinking, but guys, I don't need anything from Artius Man right now, and I don't have any questions. Well, hold tight. Something might change. But also, when we have an episode that you really enjoy, just hit that little share link, whether it's YouTube or podcast player, Spotify, and just share it with somebody that you think might enjoy the episode. We'd really appreciate it.
All right. There's all your calls to action. So thanks for listening. We appreciate you. And we will see you next Wednesday morning when our episodes drop everywhere you get your podcasts. Bye.
Bye.